solving life's greatest problems. And, you know, what are those greatest problems that we face in our life? And as you think about that, I think it depends on where you're at in your life. For some that are about to graduate from high school, maybe not a problem so much, but an opportunity. What's the next step? You know, what do I do? What choices do I have? Where do I go? For some of you, maybe along with myself, I'm going to have surgery in less than 2 weeks on this shoulder. It's been something that's been going on and on forever and ever, and I'm going to have surgery. And I would say in my life right now that it's not a problem, but it's something that occupies my mind and my thoughts. And it could be for the next couple of weeks. On Thursday the 13th, I'll have surgery. Could be the greatest problem, you know, that I'm facing right now. When we look at our life, there's all these things that happen. But what I want to do is now focus on what is life's greatest problem. What we're going to do is look at a series here for the next 2 weeks in preparation for Easter. Jesus Christ, when he was crucified on the cross, gave five different sayings. Five different sayings. Seven different sayings. Just making sure you're watching. Some of you didn't even get that. Some of you did. But all right. There are seven sayings on the cross. And what we're going to do this week and next week is look at two of those. John, could you do me a favor and turn the air on the front here for me? I appreciate that. What we're going to do is look at two of those sayings and in preparation for Easter. Now, next week, we're going to have a report back from the Mexico trip, and we're going to hear from them. And I'm going to take a few minutes and go over another one of these sayings, but most of the time will be spent there. But as we look at Christ's last words, today what I want to do is focus in on the idea of solving life's greatest problem. What is life's greatest problem? And we're going to be looking at one verse today. Luke 23:46, and I'll actually have it up here on Media Shout so that you can read it and follow along with me. But solving life's greatest problem. What is our greatest problem? Well, let's go ahead and look first of all at Luke 23 and verse 46. If we could bring that up, and let's look at this verse. And I'd like for you to read it with me, okay? Go ahead and read it with me. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Now, we're not taking these words that he spoke in order in this series. We're jumping into one of the seven. And actually, this is the last words that Jesus utters while he's on the cross. He has been in intense suffering and pain for quite a few hours at this point. And he called out in a loud voice and probably looked towards heaven, we don't know for sure, and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," or "I'm giving up my life." When he said this, he breathed his last and he died. And he died. And so as we look at these words and this verse, what I'd like to suggest to you then on your outline is that life's greatest problem is death. Life's greatest problem is death for everyone. Now we have problems and issues we have to deal with coming throughout all of our life at different times. But let me tell you what, life's greatest problem is death because it's 100%. Everybody will die unless the Lord doesn't come back and takes us. Life's greatest problem is death. Well, how to prepare for death? On your outline, how do you prepare for death then? How can you do that? I mean, a big part of our life should be spent in preparing for our retirement years. And we do that and set up a will or a trust or things like that. And that's very important. But ultimately, after that, death will surely come. Life's greatest problem is death because everybody will face it. Nobody gets away from this one. Everybody will face this. Well, how do you prepare for that? What can you do? when that time comes that you can prepare for death? And just a simple question, according to what the Bible says, is this. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? There is only one way to prepare for death. You can do all the estate planning, and you should. You should. But let me tell you what, that will prepare you and others that come after you. But when you're talking about yourself, there's only one way the Bible teaches to prepare for death. And it has to do with an invitation to accept Him as your personal Savior. Now, what I want to do is take a couple of verses out of the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And let's go ahead and read this with me. You'll see them on your outline, but let's read them together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word here is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was with God, and Jesus Christ was God. We need to understand that. That in John 1, it is very clear that Jesus Christ and God are the same. All right? Let's drop down to verse 14. Read this with me. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what did the Word do? What did Jesus Christ do? He came. In God's plan, and He knew He was going to do this from eternity past, He knew He would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. That in His timing, the Word, Jesus Christ, would be flesh and He would dwell among us. And as we saw in the verse that we started with this morning, He died. This was not an accident. This was not some kind of unforeseen detail. This was God's plan for Him to die for you and for me because we are sinners, because we are separated from God. There is only one way to get to God. And John chapter 1, verse 12 is our final verse here on this. I've taken John chapter 1 and tried to show you that it's very simple to talk to somebody about Christ and accepting Christ through these verses. Read this verse with me. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, one of the words that describes you is that you are a child of God. You're a child of God. You're in His family. You're part of His team. Yet to all who received Him. In other words, we have to make a choice to receive Him, to those who believed in His name. Believe means to put your faith or your trust in something. You have to put your faith and your trust in something, or in this case, someone, to save you. And it was Jesus Christ was the someone who we put our faith or our trust in. So, in a little Baptist church in 1967, when I was 9 years old, Coza City, Okinawa, in a little Baptist church, I understood this message. In fact, that was the verse he used, John 1:12. And this guy who was the pastor, Pastor Bud Spencer, he was about my size. I weigh about 210 pounds. He weighed about 350 pounds. He was a huge man. But he just loved God, and he was such a neat guy. I remember getting out of my chair seat and coming forward and him talking to me about accepting Christ. It's interesting, later that day, in the evening, I was baptized. And that is the day that I received Jesus Christ, that I accepted Him as my Savior. That's all you have to do. That's all you can do. You cannot do anything else. Baptism is a step of obedience. It has nothing to do with salvation. I remember, though, walking down into the baptistry. Behind here we have a baptistry. And with a man 350 pounds, he displaces a fair amount of water. And, you know, I wasn't this tall. I was probably only about this tall at that point. And I remember, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but it's just kind of a neat thing. Pastor Bud stood right here in the middle, and he put his foot out like this in the water. And I stepped off the step onto his foot because the water level had gone up quite a bit. And he held me right here and he kind of did the Karate Kid thing, you know, whatever that is. And that's how I was baptized. I made that decision, though. The decision was faith alone in Christ alone plus nothing else to save you. That is the only way that you deal with death. Someday I'm going to die. I'm not sure when. It could be tomorrow. It could be months, years from now. But because of that single decision, I am going to spend eternity with God, and yes, I will face death, but I can do it with certainty, not because of what I think, but because of what God's Word says. Life's greatest problem is death. That's the only way to solve it, is by accepting Him. If you haven't made that decision, you need to. And it's very simple. On the back of our bulletin, every week we print a prayer that takes you through the steps of talking to God about making this decision. Amen? Amen. Well, what's next for a believer? Let's say you've made that decision. What I want to do is continue on with another thought along the same lines. Now, you've made that decision. Let me ask you a question. Are you submitting to God daily? To submit means to follow someone, to obey them, to do what they want you to do in your life. Now, I'm going to guess, because I know most of the people in here, that many have made that decision. Here's the next big step. In order to prepare for death, God wants us to live a life that pleases and honors Him. One way to do that is by submitting to Him daily. You've already settled heaven at this point by faith in Christ alone. But now as we walk, we want to submit to God daily and honor Him and please Him. Let's look at a couple of verses here that talk about this. And let's look at John. I'm back in John. Many of these verses are in the Gospel of John. It's such a neat gospel that talk about now Jesus' life. Yes, He came to die, but He models some other things. Read this with me. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. Look at these words. Not to do what? My will. How many of you, including myself, how much of life is about my will and doing what I want to do? I'm going to do what I want. You know, you can know the Lord, have... How come people are looking at each other? And you know, how much of life is about you doing what you want as opposed to what God wants? And Jesus models this. He said, I did not come to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me, to do God's will. Part of daily submitting to God is understanding what those things are and doing them. Let me give you a second verse. Now we're in John chapter 17 in verse 4. Now it's interesting. Jesus came 33 years. From age 30 to age 33, He did ministry. 3 years of ministry. And that was it. He accomplished everything in His life He was supposed to for God. And at the end of His life, John 17, 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Let me ask you something. As a believer then, are you doing and completing the work that God has for you to do? Life is not about doing your own will, doing your own thing in isolation and just going on and day after day, week after week, month after month. That is not what God wants. God has work for you to do, and He wants you to do it. I don't care who you are. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. God's work needs to be accomplished in your life, and it's a choice. It's a choice you make of doing His work and His will. Are you? Enough people in here know enough about God that I don't even have to say anything about what some of those things are. We already know. It's a matter of doing them faithfully, consistently, and following Him. All right? Are you submitting to God daily? And how do you do this? Next phrase up here. How? By obeying Him. Obeying Him. Do the things you know you're supposed to do. Do the things in your walk with God you're supposed to do. One thing that's neat about this missions trip is this. When I talked to these folks and said, this is such a great privilege you have. I said, one of the things that everybody in our church needs to do is do the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations, okay? And in Acts 1:8, it gives us Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And what I did with this group is I said, you guys, I'm so happy that you're going. Because in a sense, Jerusalem, Judea, probably more Samaria, Judea, Samaria would be Mexico. Geographically equivalent, más o menos a little bit. But what's neat is that these people are literally fulfilling this. One of the things you need to do in your life is you need to literally fulfill all four of these. Jerusalem would be Lake Elsinore, and Judea would be this valley. Samaria could be Mexico. And then Russia or some other place could be the ends of the earth. You need to do this. And I am so glad that they are doing this morning. And I'm excited because I know they're giving testimonies in this church. I think Chris Centeo is doing the message down there, and I'm excited about that. And they're singing, and it is neat. Obey Him. One of the ways we do that is in missions, and I'm so pleased, and I'll be excited to hear about what they have done. Look at Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies. Here's the idea. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. It's about saying, God, do with me what you will. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your body as you prepare for death. And folks, in every way, we are all preparing for death now. We are. Yeah, I don't want it to be a morbid thing, but we are. Offer your body to Him for the rest of your life. Serve Him. Second verse. Romans 6:12 and 13. Now, as we live and walk for God, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't let sin come in and do that. One of the ways to prepare for death is to live holy and honorable for the Lord, asking for forgiveness and cleansing when you need it. I think we have verse 16 up here also. All right, verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, in other words, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Live your life to obey God, to please God, because you're ultimately going to be with him. Don't live your life for sin, for things that draw you away from God, but draw you to Him. All right, let me put it another way. And let me just say on your outline, this is another way to say this. Are you living in submission or rebellion towards God? We started out by saying, all right, you need to accept Christ as your Savior. That was the first thing, to prepare for death. Now, for most of you, It's a process of living for God. Now, you're either doing it in submission to Him, endeavoring to do what He says and follow Him, or you're living in rebellion. No, God, I'm going to do my own will. I don't care what anybody says or does. That is rebellion towards God. We don't want that. Where are you at today? Where are you at in your life? Are you in submission to God or rebellion to God? What I want to do now is we're going to go to the Lord's table. And most of the time we go to the Lord's table, we take the opportunity to just thank the Lord for what He has done. And we want to do that this morning. But more than that, I want this question to remain on your mind. As a believer this morning, are you in submission to what God wants for your life? Perhaps over some of the previous messages I've given, there's been things that God's Spirit has spoken to you about. Maybe a relationship that's not right a couple weeks ago. Maybe about attitudes that aren't right. And we talked about that in Ezra a couple weeks ago. Take care of that. Ask God for forgiveness. Are you living in submission or rebellion towards God? Those who are serving this morning, if you'll come forward. And let's go ahead. We're going to have some music playing silently. And as we prepare to receive the Lord's table, your thought is this. Lord, as a follower of yours, I want to live in submission to you and follow you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the cross. And as we reflect on that this morning and next week and also on Easter Sunday, we thank you for what the cross means to us, a symbol of suffering and shame, but more than that, of deliverance and the solution to life's greatest problem. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.